People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. New set in the house with my dream guest as of lately because I'm obsessed with her brand. I'm here with Julia O'Mara from Pickle. She is one of the co-founders and I'm just such a big fan of you and your app. I've been using it like crazy.
Thank you.
I just got my first offer.
So excited. Oh my gosh. Amazing.
So, can you briefly tell the audience and the Making Moves listeners about your app, a little bit about you, like where are you from? Give us the 411, girl.
I'm Julia. I'm one of the founders of Pickle. I'm also the COO. And to take a step back, Pickle is a peer-to-peer rental marketplace. Mm-hmm. So at the simplest core, people are sharing their clothes with each other and they're able to monetize things in their closet. And what's really cool about our model is that we're peer-to-peer. So it's other people monetizing the things that are in their closets that they can't wear all the time, but they love and they don't want to donate quite yet, or they're not ready to sell. So these are items that people have invested in. They're the new wedding guest dress that they just purchased. They're not able to wear it again maybe this wedding season. They're going to rotate that in some other people's closets. And then it's a great way to be able to rotate through some other pieces that you want to try and wear. Most items are priced between 10 to 20% of the retail value, so it's a really affordable way to change up what you're wearing all the time. For me, it's a solution so I don't really shop anymore. I just rent things all the time, which is really fun. I get to try new styles all the time, and it's a great way to be sustainable and circular.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, is there anything you're wearing that's rented by Pickle?
Right now,
these all look like Staples.
I'm actually wearing just Staples today.
Okay.
We have...
That would be kind of crazy if like your t-shirt was from Pickle.
I know. Basically, anything that I'm wearing that's more like workwear, Staples, those are typically things that I'm rotating between in my closet. Anybody that's in the office would say, Julia wears the same things all the time because I'm an outfit repeater in the office. But when I have an event, I am not an outfit repeater because of Pickle, which is great. But I don't feel bad about it because I'll rent it and then return it right back to the owner and try something new.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel like thrives the most on Pickle, like out of all the things that are on there?
I mean,
I was definitely drawn to the wedding guest dresses because those are a pain in my ass. Like finding a good one that isn't $5,000 and, you know, is the right fit. And I have so many weddings to go to.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be buying like six new dresses, even though I unfortunately did that last year. Now I'm selling them on Pickle, so go rent my closet.
You definitely nailed it. I think statement pieces and dresses specifically do really well on Pickle. These are items that you really have to justify the purchase for. So if the average retail price is around $400 on Pickle, those are items that you really have to think about before you're going to go shell out a couple hundred dollars. And so then you can access it and rent it for $50 for the weekend, for that week. instead. And so we see items that have a little bit more flair. They're a little more special, I'd say, that are doing the best. So it might be a sold out Anna October dress or one of those really trendy Helsa dresses that are doing really well right now. Often they can be sold out online, or they're just at that price point where you're like, am I going to be able to wear this enough? And if you do decide to invest in it, then you list in your closet, just like what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is really fun. And then outside of course, wedding guest, we will see spikes of usage across other fun events and occasions like Coachella, Stagecoach. Mm-hmm. People were renting for that. People will get really excited about themed parties and different occasions that they have that way. Birthday parties are really, really popular to rent for. But we also see girls that are using it. They're like, my ex is in town this weekend and I need a revenge outfit.
Hell yes.
And like, yes, you need a revenge outfit. People have posted about this. I don't know if you've seen it on the app. There's this looking for tab.
Yes.
And people will post and say, hey, I need this kind of outfit or I need this item. People have literally asked for help to get dressed to provide revenge for their ex or whatever.
That is hilarious.
It's so funny.
Do you guys have, because you have tabs where it's like for, you know, a night out or like wedding or whatever. Do you guys have a tab that's like for revenge?
We don't have a collection right now that says for revenge, but
that'd be iconic.
We should probably launch one of those. Yeah. That would be fun.
Just in case you run into your ex collection.
Just in case your ex is in the city this weekend, you should probably wear this.
You guys should partner with like Hinge and you like have a Hinge collection.
Yeah, it'd be really
for, like,
fun.
First date,
because people do look for date night outfits all the time on Pickle. And when I think about what people get really excited for renting, it's definitely those occasions where you want to look and feel really good, because there's definitely an emotional part of wearing really cool pieces where you automatically feel more confident and have more fun when you're wearing something you love. Mm-hmm. I know that when I go out, if I'm wearing something that I'm not super comfortable in, I'm not super excited about, I'm like, I'm not feeling it as much. But if I'm absolutely loving my outfit, I'm like, best night ever. It's going to be so much fun. So there's definitely the social component that leans into it.
I think Pickle is so perfect. And the reason I love it, I'm not just like blowing smoke up your ass, but like truly the reason I love it is because being a young girl in a big city and going to so many events, like random premieres, again, birthday parties, like cocktail things. I'm like, what even is cocktail? I only have like so many cocktail dresses. Right. And it is one of those things you're not wearing every day. Like, you're only wearing to events. And it's like, people notice if I start wearing the same for Love and Lemons, cocktail dress to everything. You know what I mean? So I love it for that reason, because I'm really into buying staples for my closet these days and investing in like a few nice, expensive things that I can rewear a gazillion times. But unfortunately, I just can't wear like a neon orange sequin dress every day. Like, if I'm going to buy that, I'm most likely going to wear it once or twice.
Yes.
So the fact that I have the option to now rent it on my own closet or rent it from someone else is like so convenient and so sustainable.
It's so fun. I love working on it selfishly because I like using it, obviously. But I also love that when I rent something from somebody, I'm like, maybe I'm paying for your drinks tonight or for your dinner this weekend or your date night or whatever it is, because my money is going towards
really
you,
cute.
Which it's nice. It's like women supporting women. And I don't know. I love that there's that community aspect to it as well. Ooh, if I needed a little excuse of wanting to spend a little extra on a rental, I'm like, I'm paying for your drinks or something.
Wait, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So how much of a percentage is going to Pickle?
We take 20% and the owner keeps 80%.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah.
So going back to like the logistics and the making of Pickle, how did you get to this Pickle 2.0? Because I know it started as something a little different.
So we had a pivot.
In the middle of polls. And I'm like the queen of polls.
Yes.
So I want to talk a little bit about that and like how you guys started that with your co-founder and whatnot.
Yes. Great question. So my co-founder, his name is Brian McMahon. He's amazing. We work together at Blackstone. So we have quite a non-traditional path of how we got here, given neither of us have fashion backgrounds or expertise really in the marketplace space. But we were working together at Blackstone and we were kind of talking about this idea that he was starting to work on a bit on the side. And he told me about the very initial ideas of Pickle Pole, which was like the first company that we essentially started, or the first platform.
Which, why did he originally call it Pickle?
We originally were talking, the pickle was about like being in a pickle with a question, and the way that
it's in a pickle with a question.
Right now, when people ask us about why it's named Pickle, it's because you're in a pickle and you don't have anything to wear. And so,
which makes complete
the name, we never ended up changing the name, because when we were thinking about, when we did the pivot, which I'll explain, I'll need to take a step back and re-explain, but when we did the pivot, we also got feedback from some of our existing users and other people that have been starting to pick up as early adopters for the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And people are like, we love the name, you can't change it. So we didn't change it, mm-hmm. and it is stuck, and it's really fun and sticky. And if you're in a pickle, then you can use pickle to get something to wear.
I want to like travel back even further because I'm so impressed by you, and you're 26.
Yes.
When's your birthday?
September 12th.
Okay. Amazing. So you're 26 and we graduated the same year.
Yep. 2019.
Yep. 2019. And then high school 2015.
Yes.
And you're originally from, where was it?
North of Baltimore. It's Bel Air, Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where'd you go to college?
I went to Penn.
And you played lacrosse there.
I did play lacrosse there.
Which is very impressive.
Yes.
So did you grow up playing lacrosse your whole life?
Yes. Maryland is definitely a little hot spot for lacrosse. So
it's an East Coast sport.
It is very East Coast. Yeah. Yes. So loved it. I didn't know that I was going to play lacrosse in college, but I knew that an education was kind of always first and foremost of what I cared about. But I figured that if I was going to play, that I would look at some schools that I'd be really excited about for their education programs and everything. So when I was recruiting, I was pretty selective with the schools that we were looking at. I said we because I have a twin sister and we recruited together.
Oh,
we played lacrosse together at Penn.
Twin.
Yes, I'm a twin. She is actually in starting her second year of residency. She's an orthopedic surgeon.
She's
amazing. We're doing very different things, obviously, but we both grew up together. Did all the sports together, studied a lot together, and then
did she play lacrosse?
Went to Penn. Yes, and we played lacrosse together too.
And what's her name?
Lauren.
Lauren. So she went to Penn and played lacrosse with you.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy. I can't imagine having a twin.
It's amazing. I miss her every day. She lives in Philly now with her husband, and I am in New York, so I don't get to see her as often. During college was the first time we started diverging paths, and she knew she wanted to go to med school, and she went on the pre-med track, and I didn't really know anything. I went into school. I actually studied material science engineering, which is completely irrelevant.
What is that? What even is that?
It's literally the study of materials at the atomic level, so how things work at its most basic form. And
what?
It's crazy because I unfortunately don't use the knowledge that I gained from that, you know, major. But I like to say that I picked up a lot of great problem-solving skills from the engineering degree as a whole. I also did study engineering entrepreneurship as a minor, which was much more relevant. That skill set that I learned there has nothing to do with what I'm doing now or even like what I would be potentially interested in. And I think I just didn't understand what skills I had and how those would translate to a professional career. And I didn't have advice on that as a freshman in college. And I think that's something hopefully schools are getting a lot better
at. I mean, that's insane, I feel.
I also think I was a little lost in the sense that I was like, maybe I do want to be a material science engineer. And as soon as I started getting into lab work and things like that, I was like, oh, it actually turns out I don't want to go get my PhD or become a professor at some point or go specifically into the material science industry. A lot of people did that. It was really cool for them, but I am a people person and I loved the business side of things a bit more. And in hindsight, I could have probably done like systems engineering or something that would have still given me some of those hard skills or data analysis that's really helpful and valuable today, but I didn't really need to understand how things worked at the atomic level.
That is so impressive to me. I'm genuinely shook. What would you say to someone who's in college right now? Like, what skills would you say, learn this right now? Because when you graduate, you're going to be so valuable as a potential employee.
Mm.
Like, what should people be learning? What programs do they need to know? Give us the 411.
The number one thing that I think people could learn and pick up in school would be data analysis. And the familiarity with different programs that you can do to conduct that. So there would be tools or platforms that you could already start to get familiar with, whether that is Google Analytics or getting really familiar with Python so that you can break down different data sets and come up with different insights. That's something that all of our employees at our company are encouraged to learn and participate on so that when we are looking at the marketplace and understanding the dynamics of both sides, including demand and supply, the people that are renting items from other people and the people that are renting out their items, that analysis goes such a long way because we'll uncover little insights. We'll be like, oh, we didn't know that this brand has just increased in demand by 70% last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that in New York, the supply is pretty much balanced with demand. But in LA, we don't have enough of that item. What can we do as a strategy to try to get more people to upload that specific brand or item just based on that analysis, for example?
And so you'd say learn those platforms.
I'd say yes. Data analysis or any skills that you can learn around that would be great, because I think there are some great data analytics classes that people can take now.
Are there any other programs, like you mentioned about Python, that you would recommend people need to learn?
It definitely depends, like, what industry you're potentially interested in. If you're at all interested in the product side of things, or if you'd like to be able to design different mock-ups and things like that. Like, I have skills in Adobe XD or Figma, and these are design platforms so that you can mock up different screens and prototypes as you're building out an app, for example. So that's a good one. Canva is, we use that all the time.
Same.
I'm sure I use it all the time. I feel like most college students that I've been recently meeting or talking to also use it. So, but if you're not, absolutely. Notion, that we love Notion and we use it all the time. So, those would definitely be good. Data visualization tools as well. We use QuickSight, which is an AWS platform, but if you get to ever dabble in like Tableau, that's really helpful too. I feel like this is combining where if someone says, I have a lot of really great soft skills and stuff, but where can I add some additional technical aspects?
Yeah.
Those types of platforms will give you an additional leg up or get you closer to being able to speak more on the technical side. I'm not a software engineer. Brian, my co-founder, is a self-taught software engineer.
Oh my gosh.
And it's crazy. When we were starting the first version of Pickle, which I never like closed the loop on exactly how that pivot happened, but we were thinking about engineering resources and we were looking at a few different options. We didn't want to bring on a third founder because then we'd be giving away more of the company and that just wasn't in our interest. We couldn't afford a software engineer. They're very expensive. And then when we looked at some more affordable options, they just weren't aligned with the skill sets that we needed. So Brian was like, I'll just learn how to do it. I said, okay, great. I love that for you.
Wow. Proactive kid.
No, amazing. So
love that for you.
No, I know.
Great
I
job. Like, you're
this
doing
is great.
Great.
I'm going to work on the designs. Yeah. You work on the code. We'll build this together. I'm going to learn how to try to make TikTok content.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. If you scroll back far enough on our TikTok, there are a few.
No, that's amazing. You should look back and cringe.
It is very cringy.
Pieces of content.
Yes. Fortunately, I don't have to be in the weeds as much on content anymore. My team still loves to try to get me involved, but that's not my exact best skill set. Uh-huh. So
I'm going to start saying that for like self-taught. I'm going to be like self-taught genius.
Yeah. I love it.
Self-taught engineer. Yeah. It's like literally no one would know because I'm self-taught. Like I just...
You have to be self-taught for almost everything. And that's another piece of advice, I guess, for college students. There's a lot of things that you will try to pick up skills and learn in college, but most of what you'll do will be learning on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking that really open, proactive approach at your first job so that you can learn a ton and really get involved in projects that are valuable and that matter. I think there are people that sometimes get really comfortable in an internship or a job where they're just able to check off tasks and get things done or like hit the bare minimum. If that's your prerogative, that's also totally cool. But if you're looking to accelerate your growth in a career or if you're looking to get some additional responsibility that could open up other doors and opportunities for you, it will be taking that proactive approach of you, my manager, I noticed that this project takes up a ton of time on your plate and I figured out how to cut that time down by 20%. Mm-hmm. Or I figured out another resource or tool that can simplify this process for us. And that type of stuff is exactly what employers are looking for. It's stuff that we look for when we're hiring people.
Absolutely.
For Pickle as well. Yeah.
I even think the same for me when I'm looking to hire someone, even if it's an independent contractor, I want them to be doing stuff that I don't even have the brain space think about.
Yeah.
Like they're being so proactive that they're like, oh, I think you should start doing this. That like, I didn't even have time to come up with or couldn't come up with. And I think that's the type of person that thrives in this startup entrepreneur space.
Absolutely.
Because you have to be a proactive, you have to be a doer.
Yes.
When you're,
you have to be a doer and nobody will tell you what to do. If you go and start a company, nobody will be there to tell you what to do.
You have to be decisive too. It's hard to make decisions.
You have to be decisive. You have to figure out what tests to run, what experiments to go with, and be really scrappy because you won't have much money either.
That's something I've definitely learned with working for myself because this is only my second year doing full-time influencing. And it's 10 times easier to be told what to do.
Yeah.
I think.
Always.
Because it is a luxury being your own boss, but at the same time, it's so like scary and hard because it's like no one's telling you what to do.
No.
You're just betting on yourself and hoping you're making the right decisions versus someone being like, just do this.
Exactly.
So easy to have a to-do list.
You have to hold yourself accountable if you wanted to take the day and not be productive at all or sleep in or not prioritize your mental health or your physical health or things. You don't have to, because no one's making you do it.
Something about Julia is that we've met over the phone and she was helping me snatch a Coachella outfit,
yes,
which is where,
yes,
really where we hit it off. And yeah. I became obsessed with Pickle because I had no Coachella outfits and I really wanted this Helsa dress.
Yes.
And I found it on Pickle and Julia was like, period, let me help you get it.
Yep.
Got a courier. It was delivered to me the day I left. Insane. My friend Libby and I were just like freaking out about it the whole day. Anyway, what I have to ask is, how do you manage time for yourself? Because this girl was out here texting me at like 3 a.m. New York time, which was like midnight LA time. And I was like, oh my God, girl, go to bed.
Yeah.
But like you were grinding, you were texting me, you're trying to make sure I got the package right first thing in the morning. You're texting me at like 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, when do you make time for yourself to date, to hang out with friends, to work out, to sleep? I'm like, what does your schedule look like?
It's a great question. I would say my schedule is not necessarily like ideal, right? So I would never say, oh, I'm the poster child for exactly how you should do your work-life balance. Because mm-hmm. I'd say, if you do go and start a company or you work for yourself and you really have to juggle a lot of things, you're going to make sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And so I have gotten very comfortable with those sacrifices, but it's also because every minute of work that I put into Pickle, I see results in it, which is
Whoa.
Really impactful. So that's something that you don't get when you work at a really big corporation. And that drives me forward because it's helpful for our overall team, our overall company, and for our end customers. And you are customers. So I was like, of course we're going to get you this Helsa dress for Coachella. And
which, thank you, by the way.
Oh, of course.
That made my day.
But also, and it's definitely a founder mentality and somebody at an early stage company. There is no task too small. And yes, you have to get good at scaling and delegating and everything. But I am not above any task that would be involved with Pickle, whether it's personally helping somebody make sure they get their order or helping someone else deal with a customer service issue, because I used to also do every single aspect of that job before
yeah.
we hired out our team. But to actually answer your question about work-life balance, one, for like working out, because I do love to work out, I have to do it in the morning. So I'm a morning workout person. If I don't get it done in the morning, I also have to give myself grace and say, that's okay that you didn't work out today. Maybe you can get in a walk of some sort or do a meeting on a call where you're walking or something like that. And I do have to try to give myself it's okay that you didn't do that. You needed the extra sleep. And that's also how I do a little bit of the balance mm-hmm. of like sleep too. Every person that is in my life right now that I'm able to make time for is incredibly supportive of what I'm doing. And they know how much time I'm putting into Pickle. And that means that I won't have the same flexibility that other people do for mm-hmm. events or activities or dinners or drinks. Like I don't really do a lot of plans during the early days of the week because I'm working late and I'd rather try to prioritize that type of free time towards the end of the week when more of my friends are available and everything.
Are you doing fun things on the weekends or are you working?
I definitely do a combination. I wouldn't say that I am ever taking a full day off on weekends, but that doesn't
Honestly
mean
same.
That I'm... Exactly. I don't know. It doesn't mean that I'm working for 8 hours. Sundays are definitely busier days. We like to start our weeks off really, really strong. And we have a big growth report meeting and we do a full analysis on what happened the week before and what we're planning for the next week.
How on
we're
Monday?
Tracking.
So
on
you're
Monday.
Prepping on Sunday.
So I'm basically doing most of that on Sunday because we have the meeting on Monday mornings. And so Sundays are busy with that. But I also am very aware that if I don't actually give myself some time to reset or prioritize friends, family, then I won't be as productive during the week. I've also found that when I do take some like space from the physical work or being behind the computer, I'll come up with creative ideas or things that I hadn't thought about, or even just going
Same.
And prioritizing a coffee chat or talking to a new person, you might come up with a new idea together. And mm-hmm. so that can be really productive in itself too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What workouts do you do?
I love Sweat 440.
What is that?
It's this class. It is a 40-minute workout. It's 4 10-minute circuits, and it's weight incorporated, kind of like HIIT, but
is
I like
kind of like
F45? It's like
F45.
Okay. It's very similar to that. I like F45 as well. I just have the studio is like right by my apartment in New York. Mm-hmm. The place that I've been going in LA is called Training Mate. I don't know.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, I really like that too.
Yeah,
that's cool.
People love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Uh-huh. And you try to do it like once a day.
I won't go every day. I'd say it's a pretty intense workout, so I feel like if I go 3 times a week, that's great. And mm-hmm. then I'll do either like a run or some other sort of like HIIT class outside of that.
Mm-hmm. How logistically did you guys make that happen?
We have contracts with the different courier networks. So like Uber and DoorDash, we use a third-party delivery technology called Ship Day, where we're able to dispatch these couriers. So all of those delivery networks exist, which is great. So we're not supply constrained there at all. Yeah. So just the same as if you're ordering on Uber Eats, that's the exact experience that you're going to have when you order on Pickle with Courier. When we started the marketplace, we had just pivoted over from Pickle Pull, and we basically started from scratch. Mm-hmm. We had built up that first app, and we had probably gotten, you know, over 10,000 users or so. We had built it up, you know, for a year, but we weren't seeing the retention metrics that we were really excited about. And so we found the little nuggets of insights that gave us the conviction to pivot over. We basically saw people in these fashion polls. They were recommending things that they already owned in their own closets. And they were even commenting on these polls and saying, if you were like, oh, what should I buy? What should I wear? And you'd give options. People would comment things that they had in their own closet. And people would even say, you can borrow this from me. And we were like, crazy. What? This is crazy. And it was such a unique way that people were using the platform that was unexpected, but gave us the conviction to pivot over to the rental marketplace. We basically shut down the app in April of 2022, retooled the whole platform, and then had like a soft launch and beta open in May of 2022. So that summer, we were building it out further. And when we were building out the rental marketplace, we knew that we had two key priorities. One, we wanted to make sure that we had the best stuff that people could rent on Pickle. So one of our first strategies was trying to work with different nano and micro influencers. They have amazing style. They knew what the coolest stuff was. And we were like, let's focus on getting these girls on Pickle. We'll see if we can get their closets started because they're going to set the precedent for the rest of Pickle. Of this is the caliber clothing that people want to share and they want to rent. This isn't a place where we're dumping stuff that you're trying to sell out of your closet. This is like, these are pieces we love.
Yeah.
That was a key priority. And then two, Brian and I were like, we have to make this experience so seamless. This needs to be so easy. Of course, people need to be able to have these rentals delivered right to their door. And we're like, this is such a good idea. Day of, same day. We're like, this is such a good idea. But we didn't have any money. So we didn't have any money to pay couriers or start that technology, really. So Brian and I were the couriers.
Shut up.
We have no money for couriers, so we will be the couriers. And I'm not even kidding. Brian and I did deliveries for 6 months before we were able to
So were pay. You just delivering all day, every day?
At the beginning, it was slow because we didn't have rentals yet. So a rental would come in and Brian and I we'd be like, ooh, I'll get it. I'll go run there. We would even like pair a workout. I'd be like, I'm going to run to this and like pick it up. And then I would pair it with a run or a workout or something. You're like, ooh, this is really fun.
You probably got to learn the city.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Can you please do a TikTok series of you delivering?
That's so good. Actually, of like, we should bring it back, the courier days.
Be like, founders are going to go for a run.
We're going to go for a run and do a delivery. Yeah.
That's so funny. And then like film it like 0.5.
I know. This is great. I'll get the content details from you because I need you to direct it. And then we'll go and do it. But we basically were delivering ourselves because we couldn't pay the couriers. And at the beginning, the volume was slow. But then all of a sudden, we were picking up volume. And so Brian and I would be out and we would split up the deliveries. And so he would do like west side of Manhattan. I would do east side. And we would like pair all of this stuff. We'd map it out on a shared note. It was crazy. By the time we had like the highest volume before we literally couldn't do it anymore, we were doing deliveries from like 7 a.m. until like 9 p.m.
How many deliveries were you doing a day?
I remember one day we had a Halloween, like huge busy day. And there were like 50 deliveries that had to happen.
No.
And we split it up between the two of us, 25 each. And we were out all day, all night. I remember that might have been the longest day. I hit 22 miles of walking.
No.
Yeah. I was like, maybe should do four more to hit a marathon. Yeah.
And you were just walking everywhere.
Walking or subway.
Okay.
So we tallied it up and we took like a total of 4,000 subways.
Shut up.
We knew the subway system very well.
That is insane. You need to do a series.
I know. We should do a throwback of like, this is what we used to do and surprise some people and show up at their apartment.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing your delivery today.
Yeah.
That's an example of how scrappy we were because we didn't have the money to afford it, but we knew that that would make the experience so amazing. And that was some of the early indicators of the potential success of our platform was even when we were at that really, really small volume, people had an amazing experience and they were retained on the platform. So they'd come back and they'd continue to shop. They would rent again. And that was something that we didn't see on the previous app. And so that was like, oh, this is actually working. Mm-hmm. We have a sticky product. And those retention metrics was why we were able to raise capital.
Got it. Yes.
Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, going back to Pickle 1.0.
Yes.
This was the polls.
Yes.
How did you know and have the confidence to shut it down and, like, start with this essentially brand new idea? Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a play on the original idea, but, like, how did you know that was going to be your, like, million-dollar idea? Like, how did you guys have that confidence?
I mean, so we saw some interesting user behavior. So we like to listen to our users and customers, and we conducted some different interviews with people that were like, hey, what do you think about this idea? You know, we didn't just jump ship without talking to people. So we definitely did that. We did a lot of research in the rental industry as well. And no one has really tackled peer-to-peer well yet, especially in the United States. And
Or same day.
Yeah. That type of convenience, like the peer-to-peer aspect, and when it's done locally and really efficiently, then you can get that item delivered within 2 hours.
I mean, the only place that I can think of where I can get something delivered within the day is maybe, I guess, Amazon. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Maybe.
And then the other really good shipping is Revolve.
Yeah. They'll do 2 days.
Yeah, they'll do two-day shipping. Yeah. Sometimes I'll get it in a day, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And their return policy is amazing. But, like, other than that, I really am in a pickle if I need something there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So,
or you have to go out
and we see it totally. And
which
I'm like,
I can't do that.
No, me neither. We see in the data too. People love shopping last minute. We have the last minute girlies that are panicking Thursday, Friday. Like, we got our weekend plans. We're going to a wedding. We have Stagecoach. We have Coachella. Whatever it is, didn't plan the outfits. That's me. I'm an outfit procrastinator, but I just use Pickle all the time, so it's fine. And the honest answer about a pivot or starting a company is you do not know for sure that it is going to work, and there is not enough data or research that you can do in advance of actually launching the platform to be so 100% sure that it's going to be successful. But when investors look at founders and companies that they believe can be successful, especially at the early stage, often they're looking at the founders that can be really adaptable and willing to pivot and persevere. So there were so many times where we were running out of money, or we could have, you know, folded and just said, oh, this isn't working. We're not picking up traction enough. And we were like, we have enough conviction. We see that this product is sticky. And we have, even if we have 10 people that absolutely love using this platform, that's 10 people that'd be sad if it didn't exist. And so that really, really kept us going, even when we were a smaller volume. And then there were network effects and people referring their friends, and it actually started growing. And then we were able to use those growth metrics and retention metrics to raise that capital. But it's a big personal thing as a founder. You have to be so willing to adapt and change. Your first idea will not be what you likely end up succeeding with to be your $1 billion business.
Because I'm from Indiana. Yeah. Like, could someone in Indianapolis use Pickle right now?
Yes.
No?
Great question. The answer is yes. So even though we are very focused locally, you can still ship items. So if you find something in an LA closet or a New York closet and you are absolutely obsessed with it, then you can submit an offer and have it shipped to you via USPS priority mail. So if you're in Indiana and you love an item that you see on Pickle, you just have to plan out a little further than same day.
Got it.
Yeah.
So are you going to eventually hopefully have same day everywhere?
Ideally, that would be the dream. That is the hope, that we would have this type of community access in every city and neighborhood in the United States and eventually internationally.
I mean, that's insane.
The grand vision.
Yeah. Okay. So when you guys like have these couriers, is Pickle paying them like a massive fee every year, or is it the renter that's paying?
The renter pays for the courier fee.
Okay.
Yes. We'll do some different incentives at the beginning of someone's experience for trying out courier delivery. Right now we offer a discounted delivery rate for your first time that you're renting, but that's something that we play around with just to see if that's helpful for getting people over the hurdle to try renting for the first time. But it's based on the distance of the delivery. So it's like mileage based, and Uber, they're calculating that cost on their side, and then it's passed on to the customer.
Approximately how much is like a delivery?
It depends on the geographic location and the distance. It'll range anywhere from like $5 to $15, depending on distance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 100% worth it.
Yeah. I mean, the cost benefit is thinking about how long would it take you to go pick up that item, or are you able to use your time?
Well, it's like food delivery.
Yeah. Same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I mean, I think what you guys have done with this app, you've solved so many problems.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely crushing. And I am like such a fan of it. And we've started to work together to have my closet on Pickle, which you guys can shop it, by the way. Yep. And you guys have done such a great job having other creators and influencers on the app.
Yes.
So what I want to ask is like, what has been your strategy with working with influencers? And like, are people actually making good money? Is this a good side hustle? I want to hear all about it.
Yes. Our influencer strategy is interesting because when we, again, were launching our influencer strategy, we really didn't have any capital. So we had to get really creative and scrappy with the way that we were working with influencers. And honestly, even after raising our capital, we allocate most of that towards hiring personnel, and our marketing budget is very lean. So we still don't have budget that goes towards paid influencer marketing. We work with influencers and creators who, one, align with our brand and our like mission, and are passionate about sharing their clothes. And so the people that we're working with are some of the most trendy, fashionable girls in New York and in LA. They are kind of setting some of the trends. They're inspiring people. They're helping people with their different lookbooks or inspo or guides or whatever it is. And that then is like taken a step further where they're doing all of that type of organic, that content anyway with different brands and different companies, or that's just like their niche. And now they're able to circulate their closet. And so it's a very organic partnership when they're able to say, you guys are always asking where my items are from or where I'm shopping, and now you can borrow them. And it's affordable too. And I'll see this on social media when influencers, sometimes they'll get comments. They're like, oh, can you link everything? And someone will, I saw a comment the other day that said, all of these dresses are over $500. Do you have any affordable options that are under $100 or something? Mm-hmm. And what's great is with Pickle, these girls are sharing their $500 dresses, but people can rent them for under $100. And totally. So it's accessible that way as well.
And what's awesome is like if the creator's already posting in it, you can already see how the fit is yes. on them and things because yes. they're taking so much content and, or video content.
We call it like the copy and paste from Instagram to Pickle.
Yeah.
When the creators, I'm like, this is so good because you have such great pictures and people can see how you styled it, how yes. it fits you. And then you just put it right on Pickle after you wore it.
I'm always a sucker when I'm like shopping online. I like to see the video.
Yeah.
That, like, I love when a website has the video because then I can see like how the dress yes. moves, or like, I don't know. Sometimes I've like ordered stuff and then I get like a dress and I'm like, oh, this is a skirt? Like, yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, you know yeah, what I mean? Yeah.
Because you can't see the way it moves.
Absolutely.
Or like in styling photos, there's so many times where like there's, you know, clamps in the back to mm-hmm. make it look fitted really well or whatever. And I think that's why influencer marketing in the fashion space has worked so well.
Absolutely.
Just in general.
They can spin around in it.
Real girls yeah. wearing this stuff versus totally. Like a stylist, glam, everything
yes,
making
yes.
the item look perfect.
Right. It is so awesome, and they are making a great side hustle. It's
yeah.
awesome. There are
How
girls,
much are they making?
There are girls in New York, first of all, that are covering their rent with Pickle earnings, which
that's
is amazing.
Crazy.
So that's a couple grand a month.
In New
and
York, rent is crazy.
Rent is crazy. In general in New York, but then it's crazy that they can pay for it with Pickle, which
yeah.
is amazing.
And you know those influencers' rents are crazy. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, we're like, ooh, the numbers yeah. are a little higher on all these sides. Our top lenders, one of the top ones made $40,000.
In a year?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. That's a salary.
It's, yeah.
Wow. And is this person like, do they have like the most utmost like designer shit? Like what's the
They team? Definitely have super, super high quality pieces in their closet. And I would say that they are somehow on the forefront of the trends all the time. They always are able to snatch up the pieces before they're sold out online.
I mean, this is probably a full-time job for them?
I mean, it's definitely something that I'd say is probably like their second full-time job outside. Because some of our top lenders, they're not influencers. They're just these girls that have amazing taste and have a real passion for fashion.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. We do have some amazing influencers in New York that their closets are killing it. We have some up-and-coming LA influencers, too.
Woo-hoo!
Like, your closet is about to be popping.
Period. Yeah, I'm excited.
That'll be really fun.
What's, like, the most popular thing? People, popular brand, popular item? I want to hear all of it.
So there's some brands that are higher-end towards luxury that do super, super well, like Cult Gaia, Arsina Ori, Mira Pillay. There are some really beautiful, beautiful pieces that are retailing $600,
$700. Which I'm never going to pay.
It's just so hard to justify that if you don't know if you're going to really wear it, at least five times? I don't know what, you know, maybe you need that number of wears. But then there's also brands like Realization Par, House of CB, Reformation that do so well on Pickle. Mm-hmm. And what I love about that is that it makes Pickle really accessible for anybody to be a lender. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not somebody that's like, I'm not going to shell out $700 on a dress, mm-hmm. but I invested in a beautiful dress for graduation or for a wedding guest outfit or something, you can rent out that piece, even if it is something like Realization Par that might be a little bit more accessible to people, but then they're like, do I need to spend $300? I could rent it from you
yeah.
and your closet instead.
So my first renter that wanted to rent
yeah.
from me was on a Revolve $300 like sequin and feather dress.
Love.
That I wore to the Taylor Swift concert, and then I also wore to like a event in Italy. And it was perfect for those events, but it's like, okay, when am I going to wear
How
the sequin?
How many times are you wearing it? Yeah.
You know, people have seen me wear it now
yeah.
a couple times, and it's also like, I don't necessarily need this in my closet as like, you know, a staple. If someone rents it, I'm not gonna be like, oh shoot, I need it.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
You
like
have
it's
other
one
things
of those things, yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, it's fun, I'm glad I have it for when I need it.
Yes.
But
it's the perfect example.
It's
the perfect example.
Pickle piece.
Yes.
So anyway, I think it retails for like $300, which means
yeah.
I mean the person's renting it for like in the 30s or 40s.
Yep.
Which is amazing because they'll have it for the whole weekend or their whole trip.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's the type of shopper I am. I'm not like one to just like scroll and like see if I want something. I'm like shopping for something
right.
or like a trip
yes.
or something
yes.
coming, And I feel like Pickle's perfect for that because when I have a trip and it's like you can select the dates when it's available. And
yeah, just like Airbnb, but for your closet. Yeah. That's what we say, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the technical side of like creating the app. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you even go about that?
There are a few options. One, if you're not technical, which is great. There are a lot of no-code platforms where you can design and configure at least a prototype of an app without actually knowing how to design or develop. So that's an option, one. Okay. I'd say when I'm talking to people and they do have a friend who is like a software engineer or somebody that is interested in picking up the code side of it, I'd say that's great because it's nice to build the platform in-house because you have so much control over the iterations and how fast you're able to build on it. One of the reasons that we were able to do so much with Pickle with just Brian and I was because we really were doing it all ourselves. When he taught himself how to code and I taught myself how to design and we could basically build it together.
Self-taught engineer.
Self-taught. We just had to do that. It gave us flexibility though, where we were like, we need this new feature and we're going to design and build it and have it released tomorrow. And that's something that you can't do as quickly when you're relying on a contractor resource or somebody that's not fully bought into your company or maybe is working on it like part-time and everything. So as much as you can have that ownership in-house, I highly recommend. But if you're not technical and you're looking for another option, I would say go with like a no-code platform.
How did you guys raise all of this money for your app? Because you've raised over, what, $8
million? We raised $8 million.
Which is insane. Congrats.
Thank you.
You're just like out here being a 26-year-old being like, yeah, I raised $8 million for my brand. Like, that's crazy.
It is a bit crazy, too, when you think about it like that. You're like, that is a lot of money. And it's obviously when you have that kind of money, though, you're allocating it and you're building out a team and you're hiring and you're getting office space or opening like a retail location or things like that. There's that money goes places, obviously, kind of quickly, but with incredible purpose to grow quickly. And that's, you know, our goal with that capital.
How do you even start raising $8 million?
Yeah, it's a great question. So when we were first starting, we raised a family and friends round and we used a safe note for that. And most people don't know what that is, but if you're interested in raising capital from family and friends, it's a really, really flexible investment vehicle. If you give $10,000 and you invest that into the safe note, what happens is there's a valuation cap put on that note. So say it's a $5 million valuation cap. You put in $10,000. When the equity converts at a future round, you are going to be held at that cap of $5
million. Got it.
And that's the benefit because ideally, when you get that price round, the valuation goes up to $15
million. Yeah.
But your equity is converting at $5 million. Yeah. So you're getting more of the company. And so because you invested early, it's the riskiest time to do it, but you are getting that best value for the shares that you're putting money into.
So how much are you getting from family and friends?
We raised $250K from family and friends. It was awesome. It was great. It was not just strictly family and friends. This is not like, oh, I called my mom and dad and stuff. We really went to our different like extended networks and it was a very formal process. Like we pitched a full deck. We went through and it was not just like, oh, hi, like give us your money. It was, we have this formal presentation and deck and to go through with you. We have this official investment vehicle, the safe note that you'll be investing in. This is how it works and everything. And that was what we were using to just kickstart the company. And I definitely recommend if you are raising family and friends, those dollars that you are getting from anybody in that area needs to be dollars that they're completely comfortable with losing. Do not go to them and say, hi, I'm going to turn your $10,000 into $1 million. You should say, this is our company. This is our pitch. This is what we believe is going to happen. This is our path to revenue, how we're going to get to be a $1 billion company. But I will not take your money if you're not comfortable with losing it because this is the riskiest part.
Yeah.
A lot of companies don't even raise, can't even get to the part of raising capital.
When you're going out to like your personal network, like pen people, and you have this like baby idea, like how are you even getting this meeting? Like how are you, you have to have a lot of confidence.
You have to have a lot of confidence. And it's also weird to ask family, friends, or connections or people for money.
Weird.
That's why we made it very formal and like we took it very seriously.
Like, this isn't a nonprofit tax
No, we did not just like give them a call and say, hi, this is our idea. We said, you know, we basically had a few of those types of intro calls and then said, we want to formally pitch you and show you our entire deck, what we're projecting, how we're planning to build this, what we're going to do with our $250,000 that we're raising from friends and family, what's our path to getting to the pre-seed or seed round of fundraising. And that would give them enough conviction also obviously meeting us and everything to invest. We were never just like, oh, we're just going to take your money because you're our family or anything like that. It was, you need to have conviction in us and the idea so that you feel comfortable giving this and knowing that it could be lost.
Are they blown away by your guys' progress?
I mean, it is crazy the difference that has happened for Pickle over the past year. We are still under a year since we raised that $8 million. Also, that $250,000 that we raised, we spread that out for 2.5 years.
That's crazy.
When we were raising,
how are you getting paid yourself?
At the beginning, we basically didn't get paid ourselves. Mm-hmm. We took no salary for a really long time.
Have any of your initial investors wanted to invest more?
Oh, yes. They all ask all the time. But we're likely, for our Series A, we're going to potentially add in like a component where we can get some of our family and friends in again to have a little more of a chunk.
Why are you guys good co-founders?
Great question.
Why are you a good match?
I mean, there are definitely skill sets that we have that are super complementary. The first thing of why we're a good match is because we overlap on key things that are important to driving the business forward, like our overall vision of the company, but also overall work ethic and what we believe to be like the standard of excellence for Pickle. And that's the standard that we hold ourselves to, but also our entire company and our employees. And if we weren't aligned on that, we would never be able to work well as a co-founding pair. Both being athletes also gives us, I think, some of the grittiness and like grind that it takes to just be
thinking that.
Yeah, because there were just so many challenges of being a D1 athlete, and you go from high school into college, and all of a sudden you were amazing in high school, and you were the top of like all of the athletic programs and doing so well, and then you get to college, and you're like, it's a whole new world of that type of level of competitiveness and athleticism, and it's like
confidence,
you're at the very bottom.
Yeah.
You're at the bottom of the totem pole, and I think building your way up to earn playing time or participate on that team, it just takes a lot of work ethic that not everybody has.
I think also understanding time management.
Yeah.
Like you guys understand
the time
more
management
than anyone,
for sure.
I need this thing today.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and we set really, really aggressive internal deadlines. We just rolled out a new design of the app, which I don't know if you've updated your app.
Yeah,
we rolled
it
out.
I just got the notification.
I guess we rolled out yesterday. Last week, our team, we were all in the office until midnight every night because we knew that we needed to get this design out. And by needed, it wasn't necessarily that we had investors breathing down our neck of like, you said you were going to roll this out, or we didn't have customers saying, you guys need to get your app design out. It was us setting a really, really aggressive deadline. And if we hadn't set that, it probably would have taken another 3 weeks for us to really, you know what I mean? It was something that we set that kind of deadline and we held ourselves accountable for it. And that's why we were able to get it out yesterday. Whereas if we had been like, oh, whatever, we don't need to stay and like work that hard, or we can push it. I don't know when it would have gotten out. Yeah. And Brian and I are very aligned on that kind of thing. And he is really, really, really good at pushing the team hard. We also have complementary skill sets. So there are aspects and things that I'm owning as the COO across growth, marketing, partnerships, relationships that are more in my wheelhouse. And
what's his role?
He is our CEO, and he also runs our engineering and products teams since he is technical. And we overlap the most closely on product and growth, which makes sense because obviously growth is overall success of the business, and then product is the success of our business. So I'm able to bring forward the customer experience and end user side of things for the product. Mm-hmm. And then he is helping really make sure that's fully executed in our different features and the priorities and running the engineering team and our product backlog and everything like that too.
Going back to when he pitched you this initial idea, was like, I want you to be on board, right?
Yeah.
Like, how did you know in that moment, other than I guess like you liking his idea, that like he would be a good person to go into business with? Even when I think about like, oh, sometimes I maybe want to start another podcast, but I want to co-host.
Yes.
It's like, who would be a good co-host for me? Like, how do you know that y'all are going to work? Because this is a business. This is your baby.
It's a great question.
And this is like really intense because it's like money is on the line and your livelihood. So it's like, how did you guys know you would be a good duo from the beginning? Because now it's like, okay, you've worked out the kinks, you know each other's strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is this random guy you were working with. Like, how did you know he would be a good person to go into business with?
It's a great question, I will say. And I would say very first and foremost, tread very carefully about who you would pick to be your co-founder, because you are marrying that person.
Yeah.
Like, you're committing to being with that person more than anyone else in your life I see him more than anybody else in my life. Brian and I worked super, super well together at Blackstone. But outside of just that, we also had a really great friendship. So we did enjoy spending extra time together. So when, you know, the team was going out for happy hour and everything, I was like, oh, it's fun to hang out together too. And I think that also matters. Like, you cannot start a business with somebody that you don't also like as a person, as a human being, as, all of those types of things. So both of those two things were really important. I also truly believed in him. Like, as I'm like, you're a good person. That matters a lot, because you don't want to go into business with somebody that doesn't have the right ethics or whatever that is. And then I think the biggest thing for me was his confidence and passion in being so good at, like, thinking about a business holistically and really having that kind of, like, CEO skill set gave me a ton of confidence in us building a successful company together. And a lot of things that he's very good at there, I'm not as good at, or that's not what I'm interested in being good at or learning. So that made a really good pairing for us. And then we learned a lot about each other. We know each other inside and out and really understand what makes us work well together. We know what type of feedback to give. We know when the other person is stressed out or might need to take a beat or need some extra support or whatever it's going to be. And that has worked really well for us. But at the beginning, it was really judging or thinking about those four different areas.
Wow. Have you guys ever gotten in a fight?
We have definitely had contentious things that we've had to work through. I would say those were definitely towards the beginning part of building the business. And a lot of times those can be very much paired with really tough times of the business, when we were about to run out of money or figuring out, like, is it time yet to pivot, or what's up with these metrics, or, you know, what's happening here. And I think at the beginning, the only fights I feel like that we would ever have or points of contention would just be if it didn't seem like the other person was giving as much blood, sweat, and tears and effort into it. I would say that that would always have been something that I was improving on, because I was really, really new in the professional world, and the sacrifice and the commitment that you give to a company was something that I was definitely learning at the very beginning of starting Pickle. And it's something that I have drastically, like, improved upon. That was the biggest point of ever not aligning, was like, are we both putting in everything we have into this company? Because that's the only way you can make it successful.
I think it really is important, like, the language and the tone when you have those fights. Like, ultimately, we know we're gonna, it's like a sibling, ultimately we're blood and we're gonna come back to this. And
it is like that. With your sibling, you're like, I'm tied to this person. I hate you, but we're tied. Like, exactly.
Exactly. How many employees do you guys have?
We have 10 in our New York office. Brian and I split who directly reports underneath each of us, depending on the which vertical they're in.
What is the average age of the Pickle employee?
I guess average right now is probably 25. Probably 26, my age. My average age,
And Brian's 30, or about to be 30.
Brian's about to be 30. We have a director of ops who is in her early 30s, I believe. I'd say 29. And then we have some girls that we brought onto the team that had been early days interns before we could afford to even compensate them properly. Were with us, like, during, like, the grinding days. We were able to convert. One of them does marketing with us, and the other does product management and customer experience. And we were able to convert both of them as full-time employees, and they're amazing. They've been with us, like, kind of since day one, which is so incredible.
Who would you say is the most valuable employee you guys have?
Oh my gosh. All of them.
Valuable position. Like, what was your first position you guys hired?
The first position we hired was Susan, who is doing a lot of our marketing efforts and diving into a bit of, like, product-led growth as well right now. She was working with us early days on, like, anything related to social media, influencer relationships, a lot of them, like, stuff on the community marketing side of things. She is a jack of all trades, kind of like a Swiss Army knife, where you can put her anywhere you need her because she just loves to learn. And so she has been growing in some different roles than where she started, which is amazing. But we brought her on right away. She had, like, really put in kind of, like, the sweat equity of believing in us and our company and putting in time where we couldn't afford to fully compensate her and things like that.
That's
so
amazing.
She was awesome. And then Madeline was our next hire after that. And she really helped us tackle the customer experience and customer service side of things. Mm-hmm. So Without Madeline, we would have had a very hard time building out our... We have a team in the Philippines doing our customer support. They are amazing.
What? Oh my gosh.
They're great. She leads that whole team and she built that out with us. She is 2 years out of college, maybe coming up on three.
Oh my gosh.
She's young, you know what I mean? But she's so scrappy and she really wants to learn and she's really hungry. And so those two were our first hires and they're doing amazing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What has been like the best resource or like tactic for you guys to get like genuine downloads or like people using the app? And has there ever been a time where you're like, holy shit, we're getting so many downloads right now? Like what has that looked like?
There's definitely been some moments of social sharing, organic social sharing that have gone viral that have resulted in download spikes.
Like from influencers?
Yes, but also from people that were influencers that we weren't even working with. Okay. Like people that were posting about us organically and said, this is what people are using. I'm obsessed with it. This is what you should be doing. And we would find those videos and be like, oh my God, this is amazing. And we would see the download spikes and things like that. It's also really valuable when people share about their experience on either side of the marketplace. So when they're highlighting of, I just launched my pickle closet or like a campaign like that. Like that definitely is impactful because people get really excited to go and rent those pieces or browse around that closet. That does really well. And every time there are people that are organically sharing about pickle, we'll see a spike there. But 80% of our growth is organic and that's word of mouth. So that's really like friends telling each other about it.
Has there ever been a time where like an influencer has shouted you guys out and you're like, holy shit, like you're seeing like insane amount of downloads?
I remember when Remy Bader posted about her closet. Uh-huh. It did really well. People got really excited about her closet.
She probably has cool pieces.
She has really cool pieces. She's also listed some of her Remy Revolve line on there, which I think is really awesome. Hallie Kate in New York.
I love Hallie.
People love her stuff. Yeah. And so when she was sharing about it, I think people also just love her content and how authentic she is. So
yeah.
That she definitely drove some great downloads for sure.
So what would you say, like, what moves are you making right now as the founder or co-founder of Pickle?
Right now, we are focusing on building and scaling New York. We have built a really strong foundation there with some awesome creators and partners and a lot of women who already love and use Pickle. But we have...
It's like the fashion hub. Perfect.
Fashion hub is great. We have a lot of growth to do there. There's definitely tons of people who haven't used it yet, so... That'll be a big focus for us this year. And then LA is our number two market right now. And so we have been working on some different launch initiatives. We have been starting different partnerships and working with different creators on really getting like the buzz going and really explaining what Pickle is from their perspective. So the example of like talking about your own closet and everything of how excited your followers are going to be to potentially borrow your items, but also get inspired to share and lend out their own pieces is definitely super exciting. So those two markets are a big focus. And then we have some really exciting things on our product roadmap that we're focusing on this year.
Well, I am so excited for the both of you.
And thank you.
I think your brand and your app is crushing it. And obviously, you know, I'm the biggest fan because I use it all the time. But where can someone find Pickle and download it? But also how can they start creating their closet on that?
Great question. You can download it just on the App Store. Type in Pickle. You'll find it right there. We have this cute green pea that you'll see. You can also check us out on socials. It's Shop on Pickle on Instagram and TikTok if you'd like to learn more about the journey and see all the girls that are wearing Pickle right now. And then if you want to get started, when you download the app, you just go to your closet tab and you can click the upload button and get started there. Add some pictures of items that you are looking to upload, add in the details, including the description, the price, the brand, all that good stuff. And if you ever want help curating your closet, you can reach out to our stylists. We have a team of digital stylists that work on that as well.
That's amazing. Well, thank you, Julia. This
has
been incredible.
Of course. Thanks for having
me.
Oh, this is so fun. Thank you.
Download Pickle now, you guys. Yeah. Link in the description. Love you.
Mwah. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply. People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.